T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call Banks is brought to you by your Tri-State Kia Deals. Visit TriStateKiaDeals.com. Discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. By Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all, and by York Install. Confidence, the two-time Super Bowl champion, our good buddy number 58, Carl Banks. Carl, how are you?
Doing great, man. How are you?
Good.
Awesome,
wonderful.
Carl. If when you're late in the season, because we were talking to Paul Dottino the other day, and when talking about Odell, he said this is 100% up to the doctors. Mm-hmm. And I get that, but I look at Carolina, who made, I think, a wise decision to say, look, the season's over, Cam Newton's banged up, we're not going to mess around. You know, we got 2 weeks left in the year. Let's relax them a little bit. Let's rest them a little bit. Do you have to think that way when your season mathematically is over and you're the Giants with a guy as important as Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, I think you do. But you have to think that what Carolina did is in the best interest of their team, their quarterback, their franchise. And I think it's a shoulder injury that they're trying to get healthy again. So you just have to do what's best. And, you know, what the Giants are trying to do, along with the player himself, is trying to be a part of changing the culture. And going out on a losing note is not great. Now, you don't sacrifice the health of your best players in doing so, but if the player felt that he could go and the doctor said he could go, then he's a football player at that point. You know, if he's still got some lingering injuries and he's just going to press it just so that he can be out there with the guys, that's when you shut him down. But when you have your best players, the guys that you've invested a lot of money in, they're also, you've also invested in their leadership in one way, shape, or form, whether it's by example or otherwise. But if he can't go, he can't go. And if it's 50-50, you set him down, sure.
You know, the game this week obviously means nothing to the Giants, but it's a huge game for the Colts. I mean,
well, actually, no, Joe, it does. It means different things now.
Yeah, but here's my point, though.
Okay,
I understand different things, but you're out of the playoff race. Is that you're playing a team that's got to be super motivated because they can still make the playoffs? Okay,
right.
Maybe even still win their division. It's not out of the realm. The culture, can that match motivation to get to the playoffs? I don't know. I mean, I'm asking you. Do you think that it does?
The Colts will be motivated. The Giants should be motivated too. There's two things when you look at the Colts. They're trying to kind of redeem themselves too and stay on the right track. And with the Giants, it's a lot better seeing a 9 instead of a double digit on the loss column. That's where you are right now. I mean, mm-hmm. let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're not talking about double digit wins, but you could look at double digit losses, and I'm sure that 9 instead of a 10 or 11, looks a lot better. And you feel a lot better about yourself going into the offseason, saying, okay, we got some games under our belt. We feel great about ourselves. But if you don't want to go out getting your butt beat for the last two games of the season and looking like you did last week, that helps no one.
No, I get that. I understand that. I always look at it.
I mean, it's odd as it is, but that's the reality.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're not looking at a team, like you said, they're not playing for, you know, anything that is of, you know, national value.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is all internal now. The other teams that are playing the last two games, they're playing. These guys are playing for something, but so are you. You just have to change your priorities and not succumb to being just another team that gets their butt whooped.
You know, I think as fans, we look at the Pro Bowl and usually don't get all that worked up about it. I don't even watch the Pro Bowl. Well, some people do. I don't care that much about it. But Darius Leonard, who got hosed, I mean, the guy has had a great rookie season for the Indianapolis Colts, did not make the Pro Bowl and is telling teammates he's going to get 40 tackles on Sunday, which, by the way, would break an all-time NFL record. So I doubt he's going to do that. But is that legit motivation? Would you get that when you're spurned for something that you feel you deserve, like a Pro Bowl? Or back of your mind when you're going for a playoff spot? You would think that's a little bit more important.
Sure. No, I think they both can be possible at the same time. I had a similar situation like that. I think it was in 88 or 89. It was in 89 because I went on a tear all the way through the Super Bowl. But it's tough. Like, when you get snubbed and you know you played well,
right,
then there is motivation to show everybody what they've missed out on.
Talking, of course, to Carl Banks in his regular weekly spot here on a Football Friday.
So let me ask you guys this as it relates to your favorite team. What are your expectations for them?
My expectations is to get the coach the hell out of here. Okay.
So you don't care the effort last 2 games?
No, they'll put an effort in, but they're better off losing. The best case scenario for
the Jets. I just never buy that.
Carl, the best case scenario for this team right now is what we saw Saturday against Houston. The quarterback plays a tremendous game, and they lose. They go 4-12. They get a higher draft choice, and the coach, because this coach has got to go. And I don't trust.
I think that's a foregone conclusion.
But I don't trust the onus. Until I see the day that this guy is out, I don't trust him at all. I really don't.
Carl.
Well, go ahead.
I agree with Joe, but very different. We agree. We come to the same conclusion. We get there very differently. I'm not going to sit there. And I think there are a lot of Giant fans who kind of feel the way I feel with their team. I'm not going to root against my team. I can't root against my team.
No, I don't root against them. I would never do. I can't.
Right. And I think there's a lot of Giant fans who are the same way. They're not going to sit there rooting against the Giants. But they know at the end of the day, they're better off losing.
They are.
And I think about it more in terms of draft picks, because I want to pick higher, because if I pick higher, I can flip it for picks. In the Giants' case, if they pick higher, they have a better chance at a quarterback. So I'm not rooting against my team. Like, I think a lot of Giant fans are not going to sit there, not going to listen to you and Bob, and they're going to be rooting against them. They're not going to do that, but I think they realize, and I go through this almost every year because the Jets always stink, and lately the Giants have, where I know for the betterment of the future, they're better off losing. Does that make any sense?
No, it doesn't. Well, listen, from where you sit, it makes sense. For anybody that's in a competitive locker room, that just doesn't make sense.
But that's who I'm talking for.
But the players, I get that. I mean, look, I get the players, it doesn't make sense. And they're not going out there trying to lose a game. I understand that.
No, and they detest anybody that would devise a plan that, you know, doesn't give them the best chance to win. Here's the thing about when I don't want to say tank, but yeah, when you want to tank games, from a fan's perspective, you're wishing and hoping that the guy that falls in your lap is going to be a great player. We have seen over time, and I think the Jets have picked high enough in the draft. There are a lot of other teams that have perennially picked high in the draft, and they don't get the players. They don't get the players. I mean, Exhibit A is the Cleveland Browns. They should have won 3 Super Bowls by the amount of first-round draft.
But you know what? Those guys are starting to pan out, though. But they're starting to pan out now, though, Carl.
Joe, I understand that. But if you go 10 years of picking top 12 and you don't get anything out of that, at least after 4 years in the first quarter of those bad years, you should have seen something that resembled – a division championship when you have that many top choices. So it's a risk, and I get the game that fans play, and I think it's great for fandom, but there's no guarantee that your frustrations will go away with the next guy, because then you'll be bellyaching about a guy who was a wasted pick. How many times have we heard that from Jet fans or from all fans?
Well, you still have to get it right, of course.
But you do gotta get it right.
It gives you a better shot at finding that guy when you pick higher.
Not
that's
really.
All. Of course
not
it does.
Really.
Of course it
does. Where was Eric Flowers picked?
But you can get many wrong. I get that. I'm not defending that.
All I'm saying, it's not an exact science.
No one's saying it is.
What you want from your existing team and the guy who's getting paid to coach the last few games of the season is their best effort. You want your team, believe me, a mindset of a team. You want those guys to think they can win, to go out and compete to win, and to try to win games. If you lose games and you say, well, we played hard, you know what that is? You're a hard-playing losing team.
Well, yeah, but
you do just enough to lose.
I think that there's a really good chance a year from now, and hopefully the Jets and Giants are more competitive next year, and we're talking about playoff football, but a year from now, we're not going to remember these games. It's going to be like, who cares? So the Jets lost their second to last week with Todd Bowles. Oh, the Giants in a 10-loss season.
If they pick fifth as opposed to third, or if they pick sixth as opposed to third, is that going to
– It could.
They've earned the right to pick lower in the draft.
It could make a big difference. It may not. You're right. It may not. You could draft another Eric Flowers, or it could turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to you. You never know.
Well, you know what? It's not an exact science, but you can coach the guys you have, and you want those guys in that locker room to have some level of a standard of competition and a standard for winning so that you can – you have to change culture. Winning changes your culture.
No doubt.
You know, you bring a new guy in, and you got a locker room full of losers, you know what he's going to be? He's either going to be one of them or on his own.
Well,
because he's not going to turn around himself.
Carl, my biggest concern right now for me is that they get the right head coach in here. I mean, to me, that's
sure.
It. You know, that to me, that is the – however the draft falls, it's going to fall. However they play,
right.
However it goes, it's going to go. Right now, to me, it looks like we got the quarterback finally. It looks like we got the guy. You know, I mean, it's still, you know, not definite, but it looks that way. So
you
that,
know, you got an NFL quarterback.
Right, got
that's
an NFL
sure.
quarterback, right. Looks like a franchise quarterback finally after all these years. Now they got to get the right head coach in here that's going to change everything in that building. And to me, that's the most important thing right
culture.
Now.
Culture. Change
right.
the culture.
And, you know,
yeah,
that,
and
well,
you
if you want to use that word, but he's got to change everything, this guy.
It makes it a lot easier for an incoming coach to change culture when you got players who want to win. Not that talk about wanting to win, but when that coach turns on that tape and you see a guy like Jamal Adams flying around making
right,
plays
right.
all over the place. That's when a coach gets excited to coach a team, a bad team. See, because a bad team can drag a new coach down too.
Sure.
You know, they've beaten a lot of coaches, some of these bad teams.
I get it.
Yeah, but I think the guys that are really the top flight coaches, they bring their players up to the level they want them to be at.
That is the hope. If the players
right?
have
I mean,
been
is,
beaten
I mean
down.
That's what Bill did. Didn't Bill do that?
Sure.
Parcells, of course.
Yeah.
But we're talking about one of the greats of all time.
I understand.
Most coaches
in today's
NFL are not the greatest of all time.
They're not, but there's
still
a lot of good ones there.
It's a negotiation, folks. It is a negotiation. Coaches have to have relationships with players. I know we hear fans a lot saying how these coaches need to step up and do this and do that. It's not that easy.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. You've got to have buy-in.
It's not easy at all.
I was thinking, you know, Bill Belichick's the best coach in the NFL today. Who's the second best coach in the NFL today? I was thinking about it the other day, and the conclusion I came to is Pete Carroll. Is that the answer?
I don't know if I'd go with him.
Who would you go with?
He's up there.
Look at the way he's gotten this Seattle team to where they are. Probably the postseason.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You know what? He's
a terrific coach.
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton's up there.
He wins another Super Bowl.
John Harbaugh's up there. Tomlin's up there.
Yeah, I think they're all in that.
Those are the guys.
You know what?
Yeah,
and think about it.
Sean McVay's
no,
up there,
not
right?
Yet. 2 years,
but he's you know he's done it. He's ahead of the curve.
Got a long way to go.
He's ahead of the curve.
You know
though.
What? So funny. If you guys get a chance to look at the Giant, I think it's Giant Chronicles that come on.
Right.
They're
very good show, by the way.
The greatest game is between
the Colts Giant game 58.
Yeah, Colts Giants game.
Right.
First play. You talk about how ahead of the curve McVay is. First play that they show. Johnny Unitas running, guess what? A run-pass option.
Is that right? Is that what it is?
RPO. And we think this stuff is all new, right? The RPO's been around since Johnny Unitas.
What's old is new again, Carl.
Weeb Eubank. Yeah. Weeb Eubank, by the way, the coach of that team, too. So
yeah, so it's fun to watch offensive coordinators. And it is. It takes some innovation, but research is all a part of innovation.
You know what bothers me, though? I want to go back to offensive coordinators, and this bothers me. And Rex had this issue as much as I liked Rex, and certainly Bowles has had it. The idea that the offensive coordinator has carte blanche to do whatever the hell he wants, Carl, that makes me nuts. I mean, when Bill,
no,
I know Ron
Erhard. To have oversight.
Of course.
But here's the thing. We're in a cycle of specialists. You know, you got a guy who specializes in this and a guy who specializes in that and a head coach that has no expertise in anything other than management. And I think that was part and parcel, and it's not a knock, but that's what I thought caught Herm Edwards. You know, I don't know for certain, but it didn't appear that he invested on either side of the ball to the degree where he could impact it.
Well, you know,
he
what?
Managed both. He managed his coaches well, and he's doing a hell of a job in Arizona at Arizona State doing that.
You know what?
And he tells you. He'll tell you today, I got offensive coaches, I got defensive coaches, I let them do their thing, but I have, you know, I kind of manage that.
You know what, though? Let me say this about Herm Edwards, okay? Herm Edwards, okay, took the Jets to the playoffs more than any coach in history of the franchise. They went to the playoffs 3 times in 5 years under Herm Edwards.
So
he was
work.
A pretty good coach here. You know?
It can work.
He had his issues. Hackett as his offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. He would drive me crazy. And there's no doubt about it. But they got, like I said, 3 out of 5 years in the playoffs with the Jets. That's, like, unbelievable.
When you have the oversight and some level of expertise, you can do it. But right now, these guys are just delegating and letting it go. And you have to have some – my point is you have to have some expertise mm-hmm. on both sides of the ball so that you can question things that happen during the course of a game and not have to wait until – film.
You know what, though, Carl? Let me continue with that. This bothers me too, because if you're a head coach in the NFL, you got to know something about football.
Yep.
Okay? And you're watching the game unfold and you're saying to yourself, "You know what? I don't know if I want to, you know, throw the ball here on first down. I think I want to run the ball here a little mm-hmm. bit." I'm a football guy. I'm not a coach by any means, but I know enough about football to know. Hey, I don't know if I want this to be the play calling here, and the head coach should be, you know, smart enough to say, hey, to my offensive coordinator, this is what we're going to do on this series, you know. And I don't think there's enough of that.
There isn't, and I lived through that with both Belichick and Parcells, where he would question the next play right away and says, no, I don't want that. This is where we need to do.
This is Bill Parcells doing that.
Yeah, and Belichick.
Okay.
Both of these guys, Belichick, a defensive guy, has now become an offensive guy.
No, he definitely has. No, you're right. No, I agree. Absolutely has.
Amazing how that happens,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, this Indianapolis thing is interesting because I do believe, even given the Giants' shortcomings with injuries, which I'm hoping Alec Ogletree gets cleared to play, but you look at what Andrew Luck is doing this year and what that offensive line has been able to achieve, it's pretty impressive. But then when you dig down into it, they've put together one hell of a system for him. I don't think his arm is all the way back, but it's back. But what he's done, what they've done, and they did it in New England with Charlie Weiss and when Charlie was with Drew Bledsoe, it's that 5-step and 3-step drop stuff, but when that back foot hits the ground, the ball is out. So the offensive linemen are not having to block as long. You rarely see him getting these really bad down and distance situations because he's been able to get the ball out. Obviously, he's a hell of a smart quarterback. He knows how to read the defenses. Ball's out. And so that's why their sack numbers are down. They're in sync, offensive line and quarterback and wide receivers. But then you look at where he struggled. You look at the Jacksonville game. You look at the Dallas Cowboy game. They blew the Dallas Cowboys out. He did not have a great game at all. And that's because what the Dallas Cowboys did, they disrupted his timing, not with the pass rush. They did it with man coverage across the board. They pressed every receiver so that the timing of what Andrew Luck wanted to do when that back foot hit, there was not an opening. And I don't know if he's making, you know, those throws that he would make 2 years ago where he could squeeze a ball in there. You don't see a lot of that. So what Dallas did, and they took their chances, and they were relatively successful, they played physical at the line of scrimmage. They used the 5-yard jam rule to their advantage
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
all game. I think he ended up with 192 yards. No touchdowns. So you can – there's a way that you can put the brakes on this offense, but you got to have a defensive coordinator courageous enough to play man across the board, and you got to have players, obviously. But that's a strategy that disrupts their offense, and that's where you're going to be able to get some type of pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, we saw this team get shut out by the Jaguars like 3 weeks ago. They lost a 6-0 game, which is crazy. But defensively – they're also playing at a really high level. And we saw the Giants struggle to run the ball last week. Eli didn't play well Let's get the keys to this Giant victory. We could start on the offensive side of the ball. And, of course, the keys are brought to you by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. The keys to a victory over the Colts.
I think offensively, it's establishing the line of scrimmage. They've got to go back and really play physical football, which means they have to commit to the running game. Even if it's not working at first, you have a back who can change that for you. So you got to commit to it. Obviously, the more you're in shotgun, the more you've exposed to a lot of mistakes by this quarterback. Defensively, I think you have to play some man coverage. I would like to say get pressure on the quarterback, but that hasn't happened all year on a consistent basis. So I think your best defense right now is in the secondary and jamming wide receivers and getting this quarterback off his looks.
Mm.
And then special teams cannot be a liability. Your offense can't take the field inside the 20-yard line at the 10. You got to give them a chance, especially when you're playing a good defense. Field position is very important.
Did they win this week? You confident about winning this
game? I feel good about it. You know, and I haven't said this often, but this is a game I believe they can win as well.
Mm.
I think the times,
I think they will win.
I'd be very surprised.
The times when, Carl, you have said they're going to win, they have won.
Right.
I think your record is an undefeated 1-0. Right. So yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't go out on a limb too often, but this is another one, yeah. I think, just based on what I've seen Indianapolis
but you know what
do on
game,
offense.
You know what game he said that about, though? Because you deserve credit for this. You didn't say it about just
the
any.
Bears.
You said it about the Bears
right,
game.
Right,
that's
right,
a great win.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the styles of this team. Versus the Colts, I think matches up with them.
They'd be showing the Giants would be showing me something if they won this game. I'll tell you
all
that.
Right. It'd be good to win.
Well, if fans are thinking like you guys, maybe they don't want to show anything and they want them to lose.
Well,
I
will say this, and I'm sure there are a lot of Giant fans that are thinking that way.
But they are. I see them. I mean, I encounter them all the time.
But the team
online.
Is not tank. See, the play. I understand this call. The players don't tank. They don't. Organizations may tank. The players aren't tanking.
Well, yeah, and it's an insult to a player to think that they're not getting their best effort.
But, Carl, there's a couple of things here. Number one, for me, I can only speak for myself in this. I never root against my team, period.
No.
I only start to think this way when it's over,
yeah,
when you're at
right.
the end.
When they
you
know they're out
near.
Of it. Right.
Like, I don't even agree with Knick fans rooting against their team now. I think it's too early. It's freaking December. What are we doing?
It's way too early.
It's way too early.
And you know what? Listen, when you're stuck in a cycle of mediocrity, and you just see the same thing over and over again, you should not root for your team to be bad. You should root for them to win more games than last year, to show improvement, to show you as a fan that there is hope that this team could get better and not the same old guys.
You know what I want to ask you? We're still talking to Carl Banks. I want to go over to the Pats for a second and Belichick because, you know, I'm watching the game. I don't know how much you saw the game last week, but last week, They were the Jets last week. They played as bad a game as I have seen the Patriots play since Bill's been there, right? I mean, since 2001, certainly. His first year, they went 5-11, you know, notwithstanding. I mean, they had 8 pre-snap penalties. They dropped passes. Brady threw a terrible rookie mistake pick. Are you concerned at all about that? I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win the division. I understand that. But,
yeah,
I mean, are you worried about them at all?
I am because they're not very talented, number one. Bill has kind of a formula that he, you know, he goes over it every week with his team in meetings, and they drill it. And he knows where they're weak at. He knows where they're less talented. He tries to put together a game plan that would mask a lot of that. But when you go against a team that's more talented, you get exposed. And then when you start to make bad plays, undisciplined type of plays, then you look just like your talent actually tells you you are. They're not that talented of a football team. They're just well coached and they play a disciplined style of football. But now it's catching up with them because they're making mistakes, unforced errors.
Yeah. How much does the Josh Gordon situation hurt them, if at all, in your mind?
Listen, they're going to treat him like an injury. I think they knew it was week to week with this young man.
Right, right.
They knew the risk going in. I don't think they went all in on him, obviously. They hedged their bets a lot, and probably every game he played was a bonus, and that's sad to say. But, I mean, he's dealing with some serious issues, and they knew that. They provided him with an opportunity. He gave them his best when he was out there, but the problem is when he's not out there is where he has his biggest battles. So I don't think it hurts him that much. Obviously, if you put him on the field, he's going to be missing. But I think they kind of hedged their bet and knew that there was a possibility.
Carl, enjoy the game.
Indeed, Carl.
Have a good holiday too, as well.
Yep.
Right?
Happy holiday.
Happy holidays.
Now, we won't talk to you Monday because we're going to do it in the morning show, unless you want to come on early in the morning.
I might just come on early.
Well, why don't you do that?
Be with you.
Why don't you do that?
That's
who's better
sweet.
Than you, Carl?
Look at that.
Have a safe trip to Indianapolis.
Thank you, guys.
See you.
Carl Banks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.